you only pray being excited about the old people and young people coming together when I'm here, or if that's like, do you always classify as old? No, that's fine. My euchre partner, I have to be careful. But no, it is definitely good to be back here, even as an old person. And there we go. This is a T-shirt. My attitude is subject to change without notice. Maybe you can relate to that. It is amazing on what we will classify as having a bad day. It started with a school day or something, and the first thing you go tie your shoes, and a shoestring snapped, and you now are classified as having a bad day. It started with a school day or something, and the first thing you go tie your shoes, and a shoestring snapped, and you now are going to have a bad day, right? Some other thoughts about bad days. You've lost a cup of coffee, talking loudly, overtime, printer's out toner, and it's raining outside. And I should probably be on here somewhere that the copier is jammed for those who work in the... To really break those things down, are we really having that bad of a day, but we feel like it? That might be more like a bad day. It's a new style of deer hunting? No, it's not really. Wow, huh? But if you're really thinking you're having a bad day, think about this guy. That would be an outhouse. You don't want to be in the basement of an outhouse that's about full. We'll leave it at that, okay? But what it means to have a bad day, the passage we're going to in Luke's... leading us in worship today with songs chosen, really lead right into this passage, and a lot of the words are right from the passage. But we are going to go into Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And I break it away with verse 5 by itself to start off. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. As we look at this passage, you're going to find out that this is one of the easiest passages of Scripture to understand, and yet one of the most difficult concepts in Scripture to understand. And so we'll look through it. A lot of it's just repeat material. You sing it in praises without even thinking about the idea that, you know, Jesus died for us. He comes down, he dies for us, but he's going to be exalted again. And we just constantly bring that thought to the mind. But to realize that Jesus, God, would become man, that he would empty himself, it's a concept that I can't grasp. It's way past me. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. My little simplistic mind's thinking, you know, here's God, and he comes down as man. And as he comes down as man, he even takes a step further and says, I'll be a servant. I'll even go a step further. I'll take the lowest form of death. And screens are not large enough, because as you look at these, you might think, well, as a person, I'm much higher in rank than a servant. And dying a criminal's death, well, I'm a lot higher than that. But when it comes to the difference between man and God, we just can't afford that kind of screen to put. And it just, I don't know, I just, to think of God coming down as man. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I've had people who will say, I'm never going to claim that Jesus is Lord. And I'm like, okay, you will. I just hope you do it before you die. Before you die, there's benefits. After you die, there's shame. But you will do it, because everyone's going to. And once we realize it. This passage really comes down to it's all about Jesus and praying, you know, for the retreat or something coming up to just all be about Jesus and wanting the church just to be about Jesus. And Angela works at a surgical unit, I don't know, 2.5 weeks ago. She's talking to a gal, and the gal mentions that she's a Jehovah's Witness. And Angela goes, well, you know, she's, Angela, you know, we're raised Baptist. Now we classify ourselves as Bible church people. And that's what you are, in case you're wondering. You know, what is this church here? Basically, just call yourself a Bible church would be a safe category. But so Angela said, you know, what is our differences? And the gal says, there's no differences at all. We're exactly the same. And so Angela comes home and she's like, no differences at all? And I said, well, they believe Jesus is Michael. We believe Jesus is God. You might want to start there. You know, if Jesus is just an archangel and not God, wow, does that change everything? I don't even have to get into 144,000 and all those kinds of things, and how are they explaining more than 144,000 numbers? But we won't even get into those items, but really it starts off with, it's all about Jesus. At Oakland Christian School, where I teach, we have 110 different churches represented. And people will come in and they'll be like, how do you have so many different churches coming together and getting along? I'm like, we start with one point. Jesus is God, who came to earth and died for our sins and buried and rose again. And because he conquered death, he can offer us eternal life. And by putting our faith in him, we can have eternal life. We start from there. That is what we all agree on. And then we go from there. And really, coming down to who Jesus is, this passage, we understand it. So this passage becomes so simple, but yet I think it is so difficult. You know, this whole concept of having a bad day. I had two situations that really stand out in my life about an individual who's had a bad life. Like, life was not going well for them. When I was freshman in college, a good friend of mine was still in high school from the youth group, and we spent a lot of time together. His situation was difficult, and I had met him because he'd come to VBS when he was young. When I was in high school, the youth pastor and I looked at a list of kids who had come to church when they were in elementary and weren't in church anymore, and just went door to door kind of thing, meeting them and inviting them back. And he came back but needed a ride, so in high school I picked him up, and even though he was younger, and brought him to church every week. And again, our friendship grew, but something I knew about him was he's a junior, same name as his father. His father thought his mother was cheating on him, and so went into a library in California and started killing people. And so his father got capital punishment. Deservedly so. We'll get into that whole debate. But he was guilty, let's just say that. Mom remarries, problems with drugs and alcohol, and her new husband starts beating her. He, as a ninth grade kid, tries to break into this, gets beat up often. One night is woke up in the middle of the night with a shotgun to his face saying, get out of the house. No longer are you to mess with us. So he's out on the streets for a couple days. Mom divorces him. He marries a third guy, but she says, we can't afford a big enough house to have you. So as a high school kid, he lived in a trailer with his cousins, so he could still go to the same school. So a trailer that was a camping trailer out in front of the house. That's a pretty rough life. Right? Another kid, when he turned 18, he was able to see his file. He was a foster kid. And at age 18, he's able to go back. And when he was 11 years old, he'd run away. And they'd bring him back home. And he'd run away and bring him back home. So they would take him to this psych ward to see why is he constantly running away. And couldn't figure out what was wrong with him, but kept him there for a while, Grand Rapids. And then put him into foster homes, and 18 is able to see his file. And this is seriously, this is really what happened. He looks at his file and he finds out that his dad is a woman. Now I'm going deeper things here, but this is the world around us all too often. Mom was gay, had a heterosexual affair, got pregnant. They wanted to have a normal family, so her lover got a sex change so they could be a normal family with mom, dad, and kid. Does your life stink right now? Do you want to talk about how other lives are? I share this for a reason, because I believe when Jesus came to earth, he had a choice of what kind of life he was going to choose. Did he have to choose a difficult life? No. If you could choose to change something in your life, there may be different things we would change and quickly change them. And have, it may be a short list, it may be a long list. But these are things I would change. And Jesus had a choice. And the choice he made was to come to earth, to be a man, to go a lower form than that and be a servant, to go a lower form than that and even die the death on a cross. Would this be from? It's a book. Very good. Prince and the Pauper. Okay. Mark Twain writing? I think it is. But the Prince and the Pauper, where you have these identical ones, and they both think that their life isn't quite what they want it to be, and so it's like, hey, we look alike, let's just switch places. And then find out it's not everything thought it was going to be, and all these events go on. But this is like a slight way of capturing where Jesus as a prince comes down to live like us. And just a slight view of it. But as you think through this, please realize the choices Jesus made, and I'm intentionally not doing a lot of slides today, because I this passage, and just follow along with this for a moment, okay? When Jesus came to earth, and I've talked about this a little before, but would it have been wrong for him to come to earth and be wealthy? There's nothing wrong with that. If he had a lot of wealth, he could have done a lot with it on earth to help others. But he chose to come poor to the point when he was born, the Lamb of God could not afford a lamb to sacrifice at his birth. His parents had to go and do a poor person's offering. An offering of poverty to that poor. When Jesus came to earth, he could have just been in one place and enjoyed that area, but he chose to be in a family that moved around. And some of you may understand that, of connecting and then moving and wondering if you're going to be moving again, and the fear of moving and leaving friends. Poor reputation and any good thing come out of Nazareth. And yet, to where he's from, any good thing come from there? A minority status. Jesus came to earth. Why did he choose a time? I mean, why not come earlier when Israel is conquering? Why wait to a time where Rome has him in control and be a minority? In so many ways, be nothing. He chose to be in a blended family. Joseph, a stepfather, having stepbrothers and sisters. experiencing what it's like to be the different kid. Plain appearance. Wow. If you could change anything in your appearance. And he chose. And it wouldn't have been wrong for him to be great looking. And I have a concept. I believe that God knows what good looking is. And he intentionally chose. Isaiah 53 tells us that there's nothing in his appearance that like should draw our attention to him. There's nothing striking and shocking about him. And he walks in the room, you're like, whoa. He chose a plain appearance. Wholesale rejection. Wow. To be rejected. Ever feel you've gone somewhere and you're just rejected and don't even know why? He experienced that all the time. An assorted temptation. We are encouraged to pray that we would not be tempted. And Jesus intentionally went straight toward it and said, bring it on. Wait a second. Give me 40 days to, I'm at my weakest point. And then bring it on. So I can be an example for others. And again, be ready to put Satan in his place. You should have, you know, the same mind, same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And you stop to think about what he was doing for us. And again, I can immediately get into these verses and think about him dying on the cross and being lifted up on high and exalted. But it really starts with a thesis statement kind of idea, and this is what it's about. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. My attitude should be that as of Christ Jesus. But that, what was his attitude? You know, what things were in his attitude that should be in mine? I had some students go through and try to capture this passage and I did four different groups with the passages 2 weeks. And one, I thought, maybe got a good start on it. And here's a quick overview. Oops, go too quick. Called the Survival Kit to Christianity. And they go ahead and take the passage. This is childproof. I know I can't do it. Three crucial keys: humbleness, servant of God, Christ-like tongue. Humbleness to lower in rank, importance, and status. Have that heart of a servant. Not boast or brag. And then really they take the concept of thankful there. And talk about being thankful. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And again, being humble. Being humble means not being obsessed with yourself. Not all about me, we talk a lot about. To use your gifts and abilities for God, to help out with others, you know, and realize how he's blessed you. And when you are gifted and talented, not to hide that as a false humility, but to recognize it from him and to use it for him. Servant of God, how can I glorify you today, God? Realizing the blessing will come, a good and faithful servant. Servant's heart, providing for the needs of others, community outreach kind of thing, and helping with others, taking on projects, praise and worship him. And again, if we have the exalted, let's not wait till then to praise him. Idea and making him happy. Last phrase there. Kindness to others, random acts of kindness that are talked about at times, just doing good things for others just because it's the right thing to do. Obey Christ, example of Noah. Tongue, Christ-like tongue. It's interesting with his death and how silent he was for us. And he could have said so much. You know about that tongue there. With the verse there about being careful what comes out of our mouth, there wouldn't be anything that would be inappropriate. The words would be pleasing to him. Our speech would be pleasing to God. Christ-like attitude. Having a positive attitude can make a huge difference in a person's life. Love one another. I do not encourage you to try that. Especially girls, do not hug boys. They are animals. And a worldly witness, God calls us to be witnesses to the world. But just ideas there of a difference we can make of having a Christ-like attitude in trying to, that whole what would Jesus do? Charles Swindoll, hopefully it's a name that some of you are familiar with, but or Chuck Swindoll, as you'll hear sometimes, Dr. Swindoll. When it really comes down to the question of what can I change in my life, or if I could change something in my life, the thing that we really can change in our life is our attitude. The events, the past, there's so many things we can't change, but our attitude about those, we can change. I don't know if I told you guys this, but this came to my mind because it's a silly story. Because for some of you, it may be that you would not want to be Chinese. Okay, and I've heard that kind of thing in the past because of being here in America and just how you're treated different, how you get teased, especially when you're elementary and those kinds of things. And I was talking a situation recently in class and talking about Republican, Democrat, and more African Americans vote Democrat and this kind of thing. And there was an African American student in the class, and she didn't have a problem with it. Some of the people were getting a little antsy. I'm like, whoa, are we worried that I'm racist? And they start smiling. I said, you know I am. I want to be Chinese. So get over it. But it was just a way of breaking things down. Your attitude is what you can change. You really can't change other things. And here's what Swindoll says, and I don't know if you can capture that. I'm reading it to you anyhow. I hit those lights, Brother. Thank you. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures and successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. And I love that quote because how we view circumstances in life. You know, 2 years ago when I was here speaking, it was this weekend. I believe it was 2 years ago today. Was a Friday. And it was our junior-senior banquet at school. And a bunch of our students were having a horrible day because they got caught in traffic going north on Adams. And they had to get out to Addison Oaks. They were taking that route. No, they were going to the West Wind on Adams there and Gunn. And they got caught in traffic and couldn't get there. And they were so frustrated they were being late to their junior-senior banquet, their prom. until they realized they were late because a classmate was in a car accident. If you recall, he's still paralyzed. Knee down. Doesn't have tricep movement still, so he can't move his hands, but he can move his arms. I'm caught in traffic, and it can wreck my day. Get a perspective on things. What about the person that may be a cause of the traffic? And it can be, traffic can be for anything. There's a duck crossing the road, you know, somebody has a flat tire, somebody got pulled over by the police, and everybody has to see if they know who it is and wave to them or whatever. You know, do we let traffic, somebody cut me off on the road, and now I'm having a bad day. And I have to return the favor. You know, that road rage that people die from. Really, am I having a bad day? I go to have breakfast and somebody else finishes the cereal. Is that really grounds for a bad day? I get to school and there's a pop quiz. Is that really a bad day? Stop to think about it. And again, if you remember back to 9/11, and I know the age differences, but if you ever saw some of those reports afterwards about people whose alarm clock didn't go off that morning and couldn't get to work that day or were going to be late to work, and you really could start off thinking, oh, I'm going to get yelled at work, this is going to be a horrible day, and everything in perspective would be a horrible day, not realizing it just saved your life. I used to do the announcement at school every morning, and I would close the announcements by saying, make it a good day, not have a good day. Make it a good day. Your attitude, I really believe, and you know, as Swindoll says, 90% of it, what's going to happen to you, is what you're going to make of it. Make it a good day. I really think about having your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Things would be caring for others, looking for needs, not complaining, serving, being optimistic, being thankful, being positive, a view at missions, just different things that we can get involved with and make it a good day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for preserving your word so we can read it and study it. Thank you for those who have gone through the torture, persecution, even death, so we can have your word in different languages to better understand it. Thank you. We've been in a situation where we've been introduced to your Son, Jesus Christ. And we understand the work he did for us in our place, the salvation that's being offered. I pray that if there's anyone here who has not fully given their life to you, that they would do that today. I really pray that they would not be able to rest until they come to grips with it and submit to you. And I pray that we would live every day from the perspective that you are real, Jesus is number one for us, and we want to live like that. May you find our lives worthy of your blessings. Thank you for your love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.